paid for by Brubaker for Congress.
Jeff Porsche Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. 251-343-0106. Time permitting, we'll respond to some more text. But so I've got something just eating at your crawl. Send it our way, and I think I'll do my best to respond. Joining us now, he's running for the Court of Criminal Appeals. We'll have his opponent, Thomas Govan, on later in the week. But Rich Anderson joining us now on the line. Take a little time on the campaign trail and from his job there at the AG's office to talk to this program. Rich, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jeff. Good morning. I'm doing pretty well. How you doing?
Doing well. Well, here it is. We're officially a week out. How's the campaign been
One
so
week.
Far? Yeah. How's it been so far? How you feeling about it? And just kind of walk us through the lay of the land.
I'm feeling pretty good. I was down in the Wiregrass, which is really kind of a old stomping grounds for me, and had a really good reception down in Dothan. Lots of friends down there. I feel really good about South Alabama. Just picked up a really good endorsement from the Alabama Republican Assembly. You know, Ronald Reagan called them the conscience of the Republican Party. I think a lot of us these days feel like the Republican Party needs a conscience to keep us on the straight and narrow of conservatism. I'm proud of that. So I'm energized. I'm ready to plow through this last week and get it done.
Well, and here it is. Well, let's start off here. Court of Criminal Appeals, in your view, in your estimation, like, talk about that court. Talk about its role in our overall judiciary, where it kind of fits in
sure,
the puzzle.
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, I've been practicing criminal appellate law for getting on to close to 20 years now. I've been an appellate lawyer for 25 years. I've seen a lot of the appeals system, including the federal courts, and it's kind of become my opinion that the Court of Criminal Appeals is really the most important one when it comes to getting justice done for Alabamians. It's only five members here in Montgomery, but they hear every single criminal appeal from all over the state. And, you know, your listeners, everybody's listeners, if there's a criminal case, it is coming to the Court of Criminal Appeals in Montgomery. Alabama Supreme Court won't hear every criminal appeal, but the Court of Criminal Appeals will, and the decisions they make are hugely important for Alabama crime victims. And that's one thing I like to tell people about Rich Anderson is I have been working for you for getting on to close to two decades now and helping Alabama crime victims deal with that court, trying to get justice done for Alabamians. It's tremendously important.
Well, let's talk about the subject of crime. You know, we hear the stories. It seems like we're always hearing a criminal activity on the uptick or whatever. But in the justice system and ensuring public safety, where does the Court of Criminal Appeals fit into this?
Well, you know, it's easy. The Court of Criminal Appeals, you know, it's the first court that has a chance to make sure that the trial court's got it right, that the the right guy got convicted the right way. If there's a problem there, let's get it fixed early. Let's get it fixed on the Court of Criminal Appeals level and not have some higher court have to step in or have a federal court have to come in later and do something. Let's get it done right on the Court of Criminal Appeals, because the quicker you get the right guy the right way paying for his crime, the safer you're going to make society. And, you know, on the other hand, they've also got the best chance to make sure that when we do get the right guy, we get him the right way, he's got a fair trial, the evidence is sound, let's write a good, strong opinion from the Court of Criminal Appeals that's going to withstand scrutiny. Because I have seen cases in my time, my decades working on in front of that court and defending that court in federal court, I've seen cases where federal courts have come in and picked apart decisions, you know, a decade or more later, and have really put victims' families through the ringer having to kind of re-experience the trauma of these crimes. And, you know, that's really at the heart of it. It's part of having a safe Alabama is having a well-functioning judicial system that's going to deliver clear and consistent results that are going to be well-written, well-researched, and are going to withstand scrutiny. So we can get finality, because I think that is the key to getting the justice system working right, is getting final decisions.
Well, Rich, what does the caseload look like, a typical year for the Court of Criminal Appeals? I mean, is it busy? We tend to focus on the lower courts and the Supreme Court.
Yeah, it is a very heavy workload. I mean, you think about it. It's five judges in Montgomery, and every single criminal case that gets appealed goes to Montgomery. So you look at, you know, all 67 counties, how many criminal cases come out, how many of those appeal, those are getting distributed to those five judges. It is not an easy job. And again, that's why I think it's important we get folks there with the right experience. You know, caseload, the actual numbers of cases varies from year to year, but it's a lot, Jeff. It is a lot.
So with that workload in mind, I mean, is it appropriate for an appeals court to take on a heavy load? Is it a selective process? What determines what cases you take up? I mean, anybody can take up a file appeal, I assume, but
sure.
How does that work?
The Court of Criminal Appeals does not have discretion. You know, the Supreme Court cannot hear cases. They cannot grant certiorari review. The Court of Criminal Appeals has to hear every case that comes to it. You know, the judges, of course, have staff. They've got staff attorneys to help them. When it comes down to it, the buck stops at the desk of the judge who has to write the decision, you know, vote on the cases and actually decide them. Of course, I'd love to see fewer crimes being committed and see that workload diminish. But right now, you know, Alabamians, part of our constitutional rights is a right to appeal a criminal conviction. And that right imposes a responsibility on the court. And, you know, Rich Anderson stands ready to carry that responsibility out.
Let's talk about, broadly speaking, the criminal statute in Alabama.
Yeah.
Does the criminal statute lend itself to an environment where you really need these appeals courts and you need these appeals processes? I mean, is it specific enough, or is there really a matter of interpretation there that you guys got to come in and kind of nail things down?
Well, there are problems that happen. You know, anytime you have the written word, you're going to have people who have problems interpreting it. In my time at the Attorney General's office, I've seen times where trial courts have simply gotten it wrong. They misinterpreted a statute or misinterpreted case law and misread it and had to be corrected by the Court of Criminal Appeals. The statutes themselves may be clear, but they're not all comprehensive. You know, they don't answer every question. And every case is going to have to be looked at on a case-by-case basis. You look at the particular facts of a case, and you try to match them up with the statutes. What makes the amount of property stolen, what level of a felony something is, whether all the evidence is there to meet the statutory requirements. And sometimes it brings up some dicey issues. Sometimes they're very straightforward, and appeals are very straightforward. But, you know, I deal with capital murder cases, and they tend to be a bit more complex and do have some close calls in them.
Well, tell me this, we learned this through this IVF episode, just how important these judiciary races are. They matter. Especially at that Supreme Court level. But how do you feel about that? How do you feel about a process? I know it's probably the best process available, but politicizing it to where you got to win an election to sit on these courts, whereas, you know, you look at the federal judiciary, it's a much different process.
Sure.
What do you think of that?
Sure. Well, you know, in my 25 years of practicing law, I have dealt with appointed judges and I've dealt with elected judges. And, neither one is a perfect system. You know, I think it was, who was it? Who I can't remember. It was Churchill. Churchill, who said that democracy was the worst system of government except for all the others. You know, there's never going to be a perfect system for picking our judges, absent going back to, you know, divine selection as the Israelites had. But I don't know how we would handle that exactly. But, you know, actually, I think that elected judges, I kind of like the fact that it gives a level of accountability to the people of Alabama. You know, that's why I'm comfortable standing for election. That's why if I win, I'll be comfortable standing for re-election. Gives the people of Alabama the chance to look at you know, Rich Anderson, who they think he is, who he is after he's proved himself, and decide whether they want to keep me. You know, I think there are abuses that can happen with appointed judges, too. You get somebody, if you don't have any recourse to remove them easily, you can have problems there, too. So, yeah, we don't have a perfect system, but personally, I think the elected judgeships are okay.
What's it like running for these offices? These are kind of questions I always ask judicial candidates. But like,
it's tough. Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, just like cutting through. Obviously, there's a top of the ticket races that everyone's really talking about or interesting in. So you got to cut through that. But then making them understand what your role in the whole system is and the kind of questions you get. What's that experience been like?
Well, you know, it is my mission in this race has, you know, of course, it's been to help people understand who Rich Anderson is. But I also want to educate the voters in Alabama about the importance of the Court of Criminal Appeals, because I want them to pay attention to it, because I've seen how important it is. I've seen how it affects Alabamians' lives. And, you know, if you've never had contact with a criminal justice system, you may not care much about who's on the Court of Criminal Appeals, but the people who care, they really care, Jeff, because they know, you know, if they've had a family member who has either been a victim or they've had a family member who's been accused, they want to know the courts are going to be fair and that the folks sitting on them are going to be applying the law fairly. And that's what I've been trying to do, is to educate people about why this court is so important and why they should pay attention to it. But it is tough. It's not a splashy, high-profile court most of the time.
Well, what do they ask you? Like, hey, I'm Rich Anderson. I'm running for Court of Criminal Appeals. I mean, like, what are some of the queries? Like, well, tell me about this.
Well, and then my favorite question this race was the very first question I was asked when I was out on the campaign trail, and a lady stood up in the back of the room and raised her hand. I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she said, "What is a woman?" And I said, "Well, it's an adult human female. That's pretty easy." That was probably the most interesting question that I've been asked this time. I would not have ever expected to be asked that in a sane world. Of course, we, you know, maybe we don't live in a sane world anymore. But, you know, I've had a few people ask about kind of some of the questions you've asked, how many judges are on it. I've had people ask what areas of the state it covers, and I have to explain that it covers the entire state. But you know, mostly it is a challenge to get people engaged and curious about the court. I try to do that.
Yeah, because you have to be careful, right? You can't talk about, no, I don't know how much this comes up, especially criminal cases, but like, you know, like, how would you rule on this or how would you rule on that?
Sure.
And you have to like steer clear of that, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, what, you know, the answer, the right answer is always, look, I'm going to apply the Constitution. To the extent they don't conflict with the Constitution, I'm going to apply the laws as written by the legislature. I'm going to look at the facts that come to me from the trial court. I'm not going to create my own facts. I'm not going to create my own interpretations. I'm not going to create my own laws. You know, what judges do is, if they're doing their job right, is simply apply the law as it's written to the facts. You know, use a good originalist approach to statutory construction and constitutional construction. Look at what the words meant when they were written down, because, you know, Founding Fathers got it right a couple hundred years ago. We don't need to rewrite the Constitution. And just do the job.
What is the, and we'll get to, we'll kind of wrap it up here, but like your expertise on like the Alabama Constitution, which is a very complex, complicated document. Right. And as it applies to criminal statute, like how well versed in that, or how do you get well versed in that? I mean, that seems like a very heavy lift to me, but talk about that as it pertains to this job.
You know, I would love to say that I have a universal knowledge of the Alabama Constitution, but I kind of think anyone who told you that would not be telling you the truth. You know, I have developed a pretty good understanding over the years of the federal Constitution. And frankly, in my experience as a criminal appellate lawyer for almost 20 years now, I've seen a lot more federal constitutional issues than I have Alabama constitutional issues. The reality is there just aren't that many claims raised in the appellate courts over the Alabama Constitution. And where you do see them, they tend to mirror or echo federal constitutional claims. And of course, we all know that the federal Constitution does apply to the states now through the 14th Amendment. So, you know, when we've got a case that involves a bearing of arms, well, we're going to look at it through a Second Amendment lens. When we've got a search and seizure case, you know, we're going to be applying the federal Constitution, which is much more comprehensible and limited in scope than we are the Alabama Constitution most of the time. That's just the reality, Jeff.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's such an interesting how the two documents have to work in concert. Hey, Rich, we got to get out of here. Before I let you go, folks want to know more about your campaign. Where can they find you online?
Well, the best way to find me is you can first look for me on Facebook. I've got a pretty active profile, which is Anderson for Alabama. You can also look at my webpage, which is AndersonForAlabama.com. That's F-O-R, not the, you know, spelled out. Or you can email me at rich@AndersonForAlabama.com, and I'll do my best to answer your questions.
Yeah, I'll check that out. Rich, thanks for making time for us this morning.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate you accommodating me.
No problem. We got to get a break in here. We will be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.